I sighted the microphone from the green light to the speed trap. Ray Guarino and Jody calls them as they seize them, and you better believe them. Hear relevant news, biased opinion, and outright nonsense regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! It's mechanical trickery never before broadcast over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrilled to the explosive tension as Ray and Joe cuss each other down track, barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil. All that and so much more at high noon this Sunday on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and the Live Feed, Ray Guarino and Joe D. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free every Sunday at noon on WHBC. Take the Hempstead Turnpike to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway sign. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass.
Joe.
Oh, damn. Gotta love the James Gang.
You know, I asked Joe on Motormouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show here on Long Island, to pick a number between 1 and 50, and he picked 38. He was only 10 off.
Yeah, that was, well, you had, maybe you had 38 special in there. I don't know.
That was Funk 48, and that's, you know, our good old buddies, the James Gang.
Yeah. Gotta love them.
Tom Chris on bass, who I think does a fantastic job. The guy just went into obscurity. I think he did some, became a music teacher for a while and then just got out of the music business. But as you'll see through this show, when you hear that music, you'll know why he played with those guys, because they were all the best.
Great groove. The three of them were like
Jim Fox on drums, and of course Joe Walsh on vocals and guitar, and that was
There's stuff. No stopping Joe. Let's face
Hell no. So anyway, this is Motormouth Radio. You give us a call at 516-572-7440
for a while at least.
Yeah, if you want to call us,
our guest comes comes a ringing
and. Also, be sure to go to, if you want to see more about us, go to motormouthradio.com, or you can go to Twitter, Motormouth Radio, or Joe's favorite, Instagram, real_motormouthradio. And we do put stuff up there. You can follow our exploits to a degree. And Faccia Bruta, too. Facebook, Motormouth Radio Facebook page. You go there as well.
That's the only one I can do on my phone, and even that kind of gets messed up. But
And I've been talking to our tech web guy and saying, hey, there's things that I know get put up on, like, Instagram or Twitter, and I see it. I don't see it on my phone, but I see it on my tablet.
Mm-hmm.
And he explained to me that even though they get the same stuff, the platforms are different. I was like, well, that's bad. You know, why? Geez, these people, you think they'd get it right.
You know? And I'm basically like
not a tech guy.
Technically oriented, you know, technically adept guy, but like this stuff here just makes me crazy. Well, because we were going to film our exploits on Friday.
Yes, we did.
Friday was a joint venture that I showed up at Ray's abode at where he works in Oceanside there.
Yeah.
And I had my own little guest appearance to do with someone that we know is Van.
Actually,
Astro Van.
I should mention that was Bobby from the Olds Club. The Olds show is on today, folks.
Yes, it's on. They made it. God cooperated.
They started.
Get out there.
The show was supposed to be in May, and they've had successive rain dates, and today was the last one, and they were like, oh, God, here we go again. But it is on. I went by the field. Bob texted me. They had, at last count, 100 cars and face painting and all sorts of stuff. So it was Fort Town Fireman's Training Center in Merrick, exit M9E off of the Meadowbrook South. Anybody who's been to a show down there knows where it is, and check it out. The show is great. They're
great guys.
They are
good club.
Yeah,
it's a pretty nice cause too. Remember, I was looking at their website last week. They got some stuff. They got it going on, folks.
Oh, yeah.
They've been there doing this for like 40 years.
Well, you know, Joe. I mean, you know, I've been. We're both GM guys.
Yeah,
but we've had our deviations. I've been into Pontiacs for a long time, and being a Pontiac guy, it's the BOP crowd, Buick Olds Pontiac.
Yes,
you kind of find commisery with the other guys who have those cars that wasn't a Chevy or a Ford or a Chrysler.
Right, right.
So, and those guys are just
just as cool as, you know.
And they're just as like into it and just as fervent with the hobby. So yeah, so you had a look at Bob's van, which you got to fix
that Astro van. It was No gauges. All the indicator lights were lit up like a Christmas tree.
Right.
And the worst part was there was no communication with any of the computers. And where this is normally not a problem, I mean, the gauges are an inconvenience. And when it comes for inspection time, one of the things that you have to do in New York State is that you have to plug into the OBD2 port and make sure that there's no codes, and it reads the VIN and all this other kind of stuff. And unfortunately, this Astro van wouldn't talk. So basically, when the shop did the plugged in and they couldn't find anything, they basically had to say no.
Well, I'll tell you what they said. kind of got me off guard. They said,
No sticker for you!
That's right.
What they said.
No sticker for you.
Right.
And at that point, I think one shop told them to junk it.
Yeah.
It's a good running truck. I mean, you know, everything kind of works. It's got a couple of 100,000 miles, but them Astros don't die.
Right. So that was a CAN bus communication error.
No, it wasn't CAN. This is good old class, too, but there's elements of CAN in it. And what you got to do in a case like that is you pull out the wiring diagram and you understand how the system is laid out. Now, GM, what they do in there, sometimes, for the most part, it's their wisdom, is that they run all the communication lines into the one port that the scanner communicates, whether it's the engine computer, the anti-lock brake computer, the airbag computer, the body computer. Everybody talks through this one particular port, this one terminal. And, of course, that terminal was dead.
Right.
All right.
Yeah, you showed me the schematic, and it looked pretty. It was, by today's standards, it was pretty archaic. It was one line coming in and branching off to five things.
Yeah, and they have this thing called a splice pack, which is hidden up there. Which once I cut it out and dropped it down, it was just a matter of like dividing and conquering. And then we found out the bad guy was the airbag.
I was gonna say, you would say to a class at that point, okay, where would you look first? Mm-hmm. And it's like, if you don't say that, like,
right. Wrong answer.
Let's see if we can get a right answer on the lines. We will push the button, go to the phones, and say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Good morning, gentlemen. How you doing?
Christian, hey. How are you?
What's up, man?
What's up, guys? All good?
Yeah. Still standing.
I just made my first sale of the day down here at Fireman's Field in Merrick.
Oh, cool.
Excellent.
Had a Turbo 400 transmission pan, one with the cooling tubes in it.
Yeah, that's a cool pan. Yeah, is it B&M?
This is like an OEM one, I think. It was like for the towing package or whatever.
Wow. Oh, yeah, yeah.
It was like a tin pan it had literally tubes going through it.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
I have a picture. I'll send it to you.
Yeah, cool.
But it just paid for my spot. So now I'm just sitting here for free, hanging out, enjoying the show. There's cars here looking good, weather-wise, somewhat.
Yeah.
But just give a shout-out to Bob Jones and the whole Oldsmobile crew for putting this on, North Belmore Rinky Dinks.
Mm-hmm.
And we're here doing it. And I got a table full of stuff here if anyone's here. I got some wheels for sale.
Yeah.
I actually found a thermal quad.
Wow.
I can't believe it.
Yeah.
Got a couple other things. I got a bunch of alternators. I don't know. I only threw whatever I could fit in my S10.
Right. Okay.
But anyway, I have somewhat on another note. I found a tea bucket for Pete.
Oh, okay.
Cool.
All right. So Ray called me up a while back about looking for a tea bucket for Pete over at Rolling Thunder.
That's right.
You got to contact Timmy Green from the Rinky Dinks.
Okay.
And it's the car's been a Long Island car for a while. He's looking to sell it.
Wait a second. I'm trying to think. No, okay, that's not. No, I that's right. Vic told me about the one that his cousin.
That's
has.
The one.
That is the one. Right. It's across the street. Yeah, that's the nice one. Right.
Yeah.
I did tell Pete about that. I gave him Tim's number.
You did. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So he's squaring that.
I just wanted to verify that.
Yeah.
I want commission if it sells.
Yeah, well, I had asked Gerard a little while ago if Pete pulled the trigger on a car, and he says, I don't think so. He was, I don't know what the, it was one of those things, I get the information, I pass it on, and then at some point you check back and say, hey, anything happened? And, if it does, it does. If it doesn't, it does.
I'm excited. I just sold my tranny pan. He's been hanging up in the rafters for about 20 years.
I got to talk to you because
that's a great feeling, isn't it?
I met your good old buddy Bob at the East Rockaway Cruise Night.
Yep.
And he was looking over my car, and it was good because the only things he picked out were you know, nothing that was like, you know, really bad, just minor stuff. Like, he didn't like hose clamps on my fuel line. He says, yeah, if the hose split, he didn't like the hose because it is a hose.
He's a judge, you know.
I know. So
make sure you grease him.
Yeah, right. But no, what he did say, he did notice that my fan shroud, which is an original Pontiac fan shroud, there's a gap between the shroud and the radiator itself. And I've been looking at that. I want to close it off. And I said to him, you know, I've been thinking about that, but I just haven't figured out how to do it yet. And he says,
Bob will figure it out.
No, you know what he told me? He says, see Christian, he'll do it. He'll know how to do that. He was talking about doing some sheet metal, and he told me to go see you, so.
Oh, he passed over.
Yeah, he passed the buck to you.
Ah, you got the
Tag,
the recommendation.
You're in.
maybe we could 3D print one now, because that's what we've been doing lately, is 3D printing parts.
Very cool.
We just made a knuckle for a drive shaft for a bike. It was a one-off thing, and we got so tired of buying knuckles. We blew up like 3 drive shafts in this motorcycle, and the kid with LI Racing now with me has got a 3D printer, and he got a new one that's resin.
Yeah.
And it uses like LC, it like exposes the resin, and it sets under like ultraviolet.
Oh, yeah,
or whatever
yeah.
you want to call it. UV. Sorry, UV.
Right.
Which ultraviolet.
Durr.
Yeah. Phenolic.
Right.
That's my reset. but it has like a plate that goes down in the resin, and it picks up and then exposes a layer, and then it pulls up a little bit and exposes a layer. And the resolution of the print is like it makes a solid piece of plastic that's whatever you want it to be.
Nice.
It's the most interesting thing. But we 3D printed the knuckle for a standard Torrington style, like universal joint, you know, or knuckle, whatever. And then after we tried it inside the drive shaft tube, then we had it CNC'd.
Okay.
And we just finished a bike yesterday, and we were beating the crap out of it.
Nice.
Excuse my French, but...
That's fine.
We literally did, trying to break it, and it wouldn't break, so we knew it worked. But
beautiful.
That's the advantage
of
having
test,
that.
Yeah.
But cool. I want to get... I have a thermo quad. I can't believe I had one.
Yeah, yeah.
And what should I ask for this thing?
You know, that's the thing. They were on Chrysler's for a couple of years, and they're actually on a couple of GMs.
Yes.
Right.
Which is really an oddball piece of trivia. Most people don't ever think that.
Basically, it's the kind of thing where if you got the guy with the right car, with the right monkey on his back, and yeah, he will pay you handsomely for it. Everybody else, it's an ashtray.
It's like finding a WCFB, the old original Weber 4 barrel.
Yeah.
Same thing. Like, who needs those guys with 55 Chevys or Corvettes that had dual quads? You know, it's
right. You need somebody that needs the correct piece. That's fine. I mean, would that be a go-to modification type carburetor? No.
No.
But
no.
So somebody needs a period correct piece. Yeah.
Hey, and I would say, Christian, this, if you just want to get rid of it, I would ask like $50 for it.
Yeah, there's one online for $1,700. So
we
got to meet in the middle here.
Yeah. I mean, that's the don't want to sell it price.
Well, that was like that carburetor.
That's
that
the
was,
Amazon price.
Yeah.
That was like that carburetor on that blue Ford, that big black, the Cobra carburetor.
Well, that has...
Wasn't that the variable Venturi one? No.
No, that Holley does have some real provenance, though. That is a real Cobra carburetor.
Right.
Whereas the Thermo Quad is just a carburetor that there weren't a lot of. I mean, there weren't a lot of the other ones either, but the other one was a performance piece. But
right, yeah.
So I'll tell you a story about that valuable Venturi Ford. What was that? The Ford Lincolns had that valuable Venturi.
Okay, yeah.
Years and years ago, my neighbor was trying to fire up the Lincoln or something like that. He didn't know any different. He took like a house key, and he put the house key into the Venturi as like a way to, you know how people used to put something in the choke to hold it open or something?
Yeah.
No.
And because there's a valuable Venturi, the car fired up. As soon as he whacked the throttle open, the Venturi opened up and it sucked the key in.
He keyed his own car.
He did.
From the inside.
And I heard it go through every cylinder inside and everything. I listened to the whole thing go down.
Oh.
Nothing I can do.
Yeah, no. At that point, there's nothing you can do unless you can become like the Incredibles and shrink yourself and...
Yeah.
You know, go down. Oh, that's terrible.
But
I was up in the attic of my garage, and I found the thermoquad, and I'm like, oh, my God. I forgot about this thing.
Right.
Like, it's crazy. But I got a performer manifold here with a 6210 on it. That's a nice setup.
Okay.
Someone's looking for that. I got a couple of 882 casting cylinder heads here. I don't know.
Nice.
Got a nice set of aluminum slot wheels. I'm just trying to – I'm in selling mode now.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm like hot right now to sell stuff.
Oh, yeah, you've been inspired. Yeah, for sure.
If not, I know where Ray lives. I'll just drop it off because I'll be passing that when I'm leaving tonight.
Yeah, you're close by. All right, Chris, we'll see if we can catch you later.
All right, guys.
All right, man. Thanks a lot.
Later.
Bye-bye.
Congratulations.
All right, that was Christian down to Four Towns Fireman's Training Field at the old show. and they are bustling. They're selling. They're doing stuff. Give us a buzz here.
So if somebody else is at the show, by all means, give us a report. Call in, you know?
516-572-7440.
Yeah.
And we'll see. And we should be coming back with Mr. Dennis Pitzenbarger. I guess I'll send him a text and remind him, because he's out in Oregon.
Have to remind him. They're in another time zone over there.
Remind him that we are still doing this today, so I don't know.
That's what happens. You got that communications delay, you know? You have to have, like, light speed.
Well, and it's Sunday morning, you know, so you kind of forget stuff. But so I'll tell you what we're going to do. We'll take a first break. Joe, you got to limber up, because I know you got a tough song. But again, we're covering good music. Music is therapy. Listen to that show Thursdays at 3:30 p.m., hosted by registered music therapist Larry Carlson. The show looks into music's effects on human health, kind of like how the James Gang is having an effect on us today. And Joe, you need to limber up, because I know this one is one of the hardest ones that you have to play. I know your fingers hurt for like 3 weeks, but it's always worth it, because you just kill it every time. You crush it. So let's do that. We'll be back with more Motor Mouth Radio.
Kraken.
Yeah, okay, do that. Go. Turn the amp on. Boom, I hear the hum. Nice. And we'll be back in a minute. So just dig on this.
Hi, I'm Rob Leonard, host of Beatles Songs for the past 24 years right here on WHPC. Beatles Songs airs every Friday from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m., playing the music of the Beatles together, apart, along with Beatle cover songs and songs the Beatles covered, along with songs a Beatle either guested on and or produced. And of course, we provide Beatle news. It's not the same show where they play the same 10 songs. So join me every Friday for Beatles Songs. 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. on 90.3 WHPC, the voice of Nassau Community College, streaming at ncc.edu/WHPC.
Every sound, every note, including the bass, on this track is played by a monkey.
American Hit Radio, Wednesdays and Fridays at 5 p.m. on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
I can't help myself. I want to let that keep going. Joe, you're doing great.
That really was a tough song back
then. How are your fingers feeling?
Yes. Oh, yeah. That's why you can't be a mechanic and play stringed instruments, because you can't do that after a day of like dropping starters and stuff on your hands.
I'll tell you the truth. This is something that's been happening to me. This thumb and this joint, every day when I come back from the shop, it's like arthritis.
Oh yeah,
because I'm righty, but I use my left hand for a lot of stuff. Like for power stuff, I use my left hand.
Sure,
and it is killing me these days. So, I don't know.
That's what happens, you know, especially, you know, some of the places we got to stick our hands in. Like, after the Astro Van, that was just a little bit of...
That was a warm-up.
That was brain work. That was nothing. That was like, I would sit there, sip coffee, look at diagrams, grab Mr. Fluky and my latest toy, which is a Picoscope diagnostic port breakout box where, like, everything twinkles.
Very cool. That was a very nice tool. You know, they've used breakout boxes forever. That one is actually...
Yeah, this one actually lights up when things communicate. So as I'm sitting there popping wires, I could actually watch the little blinky things come on and off. It really made my life a lot easier.
Yeah.
You know? Definitely worth the, like, $300 a thing.
And it added some color to the shop, too.
Yes, it was great. It was like a little light show, you know? And then, once we got done with that, which was no big deal, and put the dash back together, no biggie, then we went to the Mustang.
Oh, the Rustang, as I call it, yes.
Yeah, Rustang.
Mike had pulled in, a guy approached him at the shop and asked if he wanted to buy the car, and he did. It's a 69 Mach 1.
Yeah.
And the guy, it's a 351, and he had put a 5-speed in it out of a Fox Body Mustang.
Right.
So that's a great swap. And it's just, you know, it's got that typical Mustang rust, but Mike wants to drive it as like a ratty streetcar.
Yeah.
So that was my job, to make it drivable. So
once we got the starter to stop cranking every time you hooked up the battery cable.
Yes.
Yeah, that was fun. That was a sticky starter solenoid. That's actually not that uncommon, unfortunately.
The other problem was that car had a compound problem where you'd hit the key and the starter
was a long way from compounding,
Oh, definitely, right. The starter would just spin. it wouldn't contact the flywheel.
Yep.
So my question was, okay, are there teeth on the ring gear, teeth on the starter drive? You know, what the heck's going on? Is it a bad fork inside the starter?
Are there teeth on my lower lip from listening to this?
So I was going to take the starter down, and when I had the car up in the air, I looked and said, oh, great, it's got headers and a scatter shield. And then I grabbed the, you have to take the idler arm down to get the starter out,
right,
which wasn't going to change anyway. But when I grabbed the starter, it was loose. The guy who put in couldn't get the top bolt tight.
Right, so he probably just did the he gave an extra grunt on the bottom bolt and hoped it held up.
Actually, I was a little loose, but I had all I could do on a lift with extensions and swivels and all sorts of stuff, and I had a hard time getting to that bolt.
And I thought you were building another Tappan Zee bridge over there.
You would think, right? So that at least made the starter engage.
The extension drawer in the toolbox was empty, folks.
Yeah, it was. But then it would engage, but stay engaged. So then you look at either the solenoid or a sticky ignition switch, which it could be. So,
and then you find, and then after we discuss a little bit, then you find Fonzarelli'd it,
right?
Which basically, in case of those of you who don't remember that show, to get the Fonz, he went over and just smacked the thing.
That's
really
what
hard.
I did.
Bang, zoom, done. And we said, okay, this thing's got to go.
Yeah, smacked the solenoid with the back of something.
Yeah, then once we got a new solenoid delivered to us from the parts store, then the next thing was it wouldn't stay running because if you looked at it cross-eyed, like the ignition would cut out.
Yeah, I touched
Then we went on the snipe hunt for the wires.
Yeah, touched this one wire and the car would just stall. I'm like, huh? So
start
up again and then touch that wire. So then we found the rat's nest of home wire connectors and butt connectors.
There was more butts in that thing than the men's room at the Maron. It was pretty. I particularly liked the ground.
Oh, that will. Well, we had a lot of trouble with that.
That was a piece of wire. It ended up that this wire that was just kind of shaved off and like wrapped around the bolt, which wouldn't tighten. Another thing. The intake, every bolt on like the head of the intake manifold, you know, typical 3/8 coarse thread bolt, right? No big deal. No. You couldn't torque nothing down.
No.
Lock washes, star washes, you know, we were going to start putting goop on it.
Yeah, but then longer bolt, shorter bolt.
Yeah, but then the goop would ruin the conductivity of the ground. You know,
right.
We couldn't go that way, so we finally got that squared away. Then Ray decided to move back to the brakes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What brakes?
Yeah, I did a bleed, and then we found that, you know, we had no pedal, but we had a pedal previously.
It kind of had a pedal.
And then we got a pedal that was okay. We did a manual bleed. Joe, you were in the car. And that's after we had to get the door open because it was like hermetically welded shut.
This car was like an Indiana Jones, like one disaster after another. But
the F-150 that's out behind the shop has the same problem. Mike and I pushed that in and out to get the Mustang out last week, and I closed the door on that, and it went bunk. It didn't latch. So those four doors have issues.
Yeah, they don't want to close because they don't want to keep you stuck in it, or they want to keep you stuck. It all depends on what mood they're in.
Right. So you did we did a manual pump and dump, and you reported that you said, yeah, we do have a decent pedal. But and then all of a sudden the pedal was like gone, and then
you start the car up and back to the floor again.
And the other thing was you could grab the pedal and lift it up clear to the dashboard.
That's not supposed to do that, is it, Ray?
No. So
was I supposed to have pedal marks on my chin? It doesn't happen that way. Oh, we're flashing.
We had other problems. We'll get back to that after we take this call. We'll say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey, how you doing today?
Yes, how you doing, Joe?
Yep.
How's it going, Joe? Joe Undertaker. What's happening, Joe?
Yeah, you were talking about with the turning the key and the starter just spinning. At least you never had it where you turned the key and the directionals flashed.
That would be different.
Cool. I like that.
Tell us about that, Joe.
Yeah.
Very stiff wiring in the harness. The connection at the firewall on the engine side.
Yeah.
I got called away when I was rewiring it, and in the time that I was away, the wires sort of relaxed and inverted themselves.
Wow.
And I wasn't paying attention. I just plugged them in. So when I turned the key, the directionals went on. I said, okay, the directionals are going on. Let's see what happens if we hit the four-way flashers. Hit that, the starter kept on going.
Excellent.
Nice.
Now, this is an anti-theft device.
What kind of car was that, Joe?
Oh, that was a nightmare Dodge Duster, and it was like one of those really whacked out in between model years, modified, changed. So you had like four or five wiring schematics to choose from at the library.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah, take your pick.
Yeah, for some reason, Chrysler likes to do that. We have the dust that we have over at the CF garage over there. There's been a little bit of discrepancy between the various diagrams there.
Wow.
So that just becomes a point that common sense, just grab the meter and visually trace stuff.
Yeah, we got lucky with the Mustang. Luckily, Joe, between Joe and I, we, you know, talked about it a little bit. It wasn't even really brainstorming.
We cursed at it.
It was really kind of common sense because we both said, you know what?
The paint was peeling off the garage walls.
Let's just rip all of this junk out and start fresh. So that's what we did. Just cut, snap, snip, snip, make new SATA connectors, make new ring terminals, you know, crimp everything the right way, and then bang, put it back together. Problem solved. So, you know, you got to just do that. You have to. It's the thing. Joe and I don't get to work together often, but when we do, it's usually a pleasant experience because we kind of follow the same paths most of the time, and we curse about the same times too.
Yeah, we're on the same wavelength when it comes to things aggravate us at the same time.
Exactly. So,
well, that's the thing with the people that I was working with on that car with that. With our sense of humor and everything, it's still a running joke.
Yeah, good. That's good. Yeah, because listen, it's just a car, so you might as well just, you know, get over it and move forward. So
then, with one of the friends that I was working with, I'm not allowed to really say anything when he's working on something.
Okay.
Because he was working under the hood, I show up, I'm like, "What are you doing?" "Yeah, changing out the solenoid." Or changing the wire on the solenoid. Ah, don't worry about it. It's a snap. As soon as I finished saying that, the ceramic went.
Yeah. Oh, you jinxed it.
Yeah.
Oh, you jinxed it.
Yeah.
Damn.
Oh, that's funny. That's very good. Well, thanks for that, Bob. We appreciate Joe. We appreciate the call and the story. That's always great to hear.
Yeah, we always like to know we're not alone, you know?
Yeah.
Yep.
All righty.
Talk to you later.
All right, Joe.
Thanks,
keep in touch.
Take care.
All right, that was Joe the Undertaker.
Got in from the airwaves there that we should just solve our problem with that Mustang and just buy the Lincoln.
There you go.
Yeah, that's courtesy of Wrench came over the airwaves with that.
Well, Wrench is going to have to get in touch with you and drive that car down to the South Shore so that the guys can see it. You know, seeing is believing with something like that.
Oh, especially that car, definitely. Yeah.
I mean, I'd probably want to buy it after I get the...
Oh, it's a rip. It's a riot, you know, let's face it. And it runs good, too. He says, you know, why mess with the Mustang?
There you go.
The AC works.
Oh, baby. Yeah. Nice.
Well, we have AC. The Mustang's got AC.
Well, it's got enough holes in the firewall.
Well, I was going to say, it's not even like the 260 AC. It's more like 360 AC.
Exactly.
Oh, model on that thing. You know what's funny? I could actually see you through the wheel well.
Yeah, I know. And when I was under the dash undoing the brake.
I saw that gesture you were making.
Yeah, we took the booster out. So as I'm under the dash, I'm doing the under the dash part. You were on the top
side. I
was
on top, yeah.
And I'm seeing light coming through at me. I'm like, oh, good, more light. That's good. Jeez.
Yeah, oh yeah, that's another thing, in case anybody's done one of them old 60s Mustangs. The master cylinder is, if it's a quarter of an inch from the shock tower, it's a lot.
Yeah.
And trying to get that thing apart, trying to get everything to move forward just enough to move it apart. So obviously, somebody failed geometry when
But then the master came off the booster relatively easy.
Well, yeah, because I screamed at it, pushed it back a little bit. The firewall must have flexed.
Right. I'm trying to decide how I want to reinstall that as a unit or as two pieces. I don't know yet.
We're going to have to get it a Sazol.
That could be.
We're going to have to use it a Sazol. We're going to have to cut that brace there and
more of it.
Just drop it in there and. Yeah, no, that's tight. I think actually we're going to end up having to do a two piece thing where we're going to have to get the booster in first, and then kind of angulate it, then just kind of swing it on in.
Well, just so people know, once the booster came out, we found the problem with the pedal and the problem with all the problems with the pedal, with the rising pedal and with the sinking pedal. The rod, there's a rod between the pedal and the booster, and then one between the booster and the master.
Yeah.
The one between the booster and the master would move, but the backside one, it was solid. I hit it with a hammer and couldn't make it move. I did a Johnny on it. I'm like, give me the hammer. And it didn't, and I'm like, whack, nothing. And you know, but that's how we diagnosed it, Joe, because with the car running, there's manifold vacuum through the hose from the manifold to the booster. With the car off, if you pull that hose off, you should hear a nice whoosh of air. that the booster is holding.
And we got Stewart's brother there.
We got nothing.
Yeah, so at that point, that was the end of that discussion. But when that thing came out, I think the part number on the rod should not have been written in hieroglyphics.
Yeah. It was kind of like giving birth. It was kind of like, a 20-pound baby and, an 89-pound mother.
Yeah,
it was
right.
Not an easy birth.
Yeah, 10 pounds of whatever in a 5-pound bag, yeah. But exactly. we got it out, and now we just have to find a suitable replacement. By the way, if there's any Mustang guys out there that have any kind of tips for this.
Oh, definitely. We're open.
Yeah, email, call, send,
good
whatever
idea.
You want to do.
Again, motormouthradio.com has the email link on it, which is motormouthradio@ncc.edu.
Yeah.
And get a hold of us.
We're always willing to share ideas. You could share them with us. We could share them with you.
Right.
If you've got any kind of electronic stuff,
But for now, we're going to take another break because I don't have the time. Clever tie-in. to track number 8 on the CD. And we'll be back. Hopefully, we'll get Dennis on. I sent him a text. Maybe he's out having breakfast. I don't know. If not, we'll talk about it ourselves. So, more Motor Mouth Radio. Joe and Ray, keep it where you got it. We'll be back in a few.
Yeah.
See, this is hi-fi, okay? High fidelity. You know what that means? That means this is the highest quality fidelity. Hi-fi. Those are two very important things to have in the stereo system.
Join me, Kim Tracy, on High Fidelity for a mix of music with a focus on newer music and lesser-known artists every Thursday at 2 p.m. on the Voice of Nassau Community College 90.3 WHPC and streaming with the iHeartRadio and TuneIn apps.
Oh my, oh my, oh my. Let me tell you about this fine show we have here at the station called Motor Mouth Radio. It is a car show hosted by Ray Guarino and Joe D. But you know what? It's not just cars. We sometimes talk about other things, and even when they're just talking about cars, it's about the love of cars. It's about the feeling you get. They open up a hood and they say, "Damn, I want to redo this engine." Not everyone says that. These guys do. And like I always say also, you watch those cooking shows. You don't cook, you can listen to these guys not know anything about a car. So please listen to Motor Mouth Radio every Sunday, 12 noon, right here on WHPC. And if you don't listen, that's your fault. You'll go through the rest of the day saying, "Damn it, I didn't listen. I should have listened." Sort of like Motor Mouth Radio. You don't have to like cars to listen to them. It helps if you do, but you don't have to. Thank you.
We'll be back with answers to your car questions. Give us a call at 516-572-7440. Oh, I should have said the Motor Mouth thing.
Oh, we got all sorts of stuff playing in the studio here. We got basses, drums. We got all sorts of air stuff flying around on Motor Mouth Radio, Long Island.
Air rock.
Yes, Long Island's only automotive talk show. And we got more people on the phone.
Push
so
the button.
I don't know. Let's push the button. Say hi. You're on with the
Did
Motor
you
Mouths.
Push the button.
Hey, this is Dennis Pitzenbarger.
Hey, Dennis. What's up, man?
How are you?
I'm doing well. How you doing, guys, on this beautiful Sunday morning?
Not bad. Beautiful.
Just fantastic.
Obviously, we're in a different time zone.
Yeah.
That's cool. What's going on, man? How's everything?
So,
things are good, man. Things are good. I'm actually kind of bouncing between a couple other shots, kind of getting ready to find out what the fate might be for Sticker Shock. I think that all things point in a positive direction, but it's kind of one of those weird things where you breathe a sigh of relief. The show, you get into these cycles where you go and you film it, and then you see it edited, and then you see it on air, and then you breathe this, I don't know, call it a sigh of relief, and now it's the big hurry up and wait game, and you just take it as it is. Sometimes things have long life cycles, sometimes they don't. Either way, I got to meet some cool people, work with some cool people, and we can only hope that we move forward.
That's the thing. They asked me what we were doing for the show, and I said, we got Dennis Pitzenbarger calling in from Sticker Shock, and they said, "Hey, did you get picked up for a second season?" And I know from dealing with our good friend Lou Santiago, you never know. And I said, "Look, I don't know. I said, I'll ask Dennis. Hopefully, he did, because the show is really cool, Dennis. It's, You know, one of my takeaways was that it was pretty cool that you learned the correct British dialect from your buddy Nick Smith there, the appraiser, on how to say the word what we call aluminum.
Yes, aluminium.
Right.
and yeah, that price just went double propane.
Yeah, you're right. Lou is right, and you never know. And you guys obviously picked up on that. But, you know, that's the thing. It's always a matter of what do you learn. You know, you can look at something from a positive aspect. You can look at something from a negative aspect. You know, I look at it as one more thing. You know, I'm not a rich guy. I don't even have a second bathroom, but I got a lot of cool stories from a lot of cool people and a lot of cool experiences, and I chalk it up to that, you know? I mean,
right.
You can't take, you know, it'd be great to be rich. I think anybody who's rich would tell you it's probably great to be poor. Who knows? But, you know, I take away a lot of cool experiences and a lot of cool cars on that program, you know?
Yes,
I mean,
it certainly was.
Yes.
You know, there was some cool, there was definitely, some people were certainly sticker shocked as the name, you know, portrays the show, and I just hope the general public gets a kick out of what we do.
And I'll tell you something, I have become a big Addison fan. I like the way she appraises stuff. You guys really, it's just a great team. You really do a good job on air. It's something that was lacking from the TV landscape, I think, and it really fills a nice void. So.
Well, obviously hindsight's always 20/20, and, you know, I'd have my own way of doing it, you know. I mean, when you walk into the kitchen, you find who the head cook is, and if you're smart, you try not to be a cook. As the saying goes, too many cooks in the kitchen.
Right.
I have my ways that I would change the show because I really truly like the way that it portrays the story and the connection to the automobile behind the person. Right. Yeah, the car is certainly just as important, and what people across the country can tie into a value if they're a Camaro, Mustang, Cuda owner, if they're a Cadillac, lowrider, sled kind of guy, whatever that little slice of Americana is for you, I just wish that we had an opportunity to tell more of those stories, or at least elongate them. And it shows in what the real power has been, which is the way that the videos that were released by Discovery have seen in views. I mean, the little mini truck video is at 1.2 million views already. Several of the videos that show the back, a little bit more of the background that you can find on discovery.com or the Discovery Go Up app, approaching 700,000-900,000 views. And, wow. You know, it's easy to say, well, why don't you do this? But, you know, there's a producer that's tasked with this, this job of shoving a lot of ham into a 2-pound sack, which is 48 minutes of television.
Right.
That being said, if you go to look at the way that the videos have been received and thousands and hundreds of thousands of views, it shows that people are kind of seeking the show out to see a little bit more of that backstory. My point was, I would have loved to have told more stories. I mean, I could have made one particular cars I could have done a whole hour on, but, you know, sometimes that's just not the way the show is put together.
Right. The other thing is, you being a real car guy, you could see when like the hood opens, sometimes your eyes just light up. You're like, oh yeah, this is, let's fire this thing up.
Yeah. I mean, I build a lot of junk that blows up, but I am just a real guy. You know, the biggest compliment I can get is when I see people when I see you guys at SEMA or something, and people commonly say, you know, you're the same guy that I see on TV. And I'm like, well, because I am the same guy you see on TV. I'm just,
yeah,
you know, I'm a guy who is off shooting a really cool series right now. I don't mind, you know, doubling down on the promotion. It's Horsepower Wars.
I was going to ask you about that because I've been following that on Instagram.
Yeah. So Horsepower Wars is four, you know, really hardcore drag race teams building cars for super cheap. Well, I'm home for 36 hours, and I'm, you know, as soon as I'm off the phone with you guys, I'm probably going to feed my chickens and then go for a walk with my family. I'm just a regular guy, and along the way, I get to build some cars, you know. I mean, the only downside of either, you know, either project is great. You know, Horsepower Wars is a lot of fun. Sticker Shock, obviously huge, you know, backing from Discovery, and I can't thank them enough. I'll tell you what, this is the thing, and I know you guys can appreciate this. It's now, where is the time to work on my stuff?
Oh yeah.
You know, because I took my black Camaro out for a rip yesterday with my wife, and I and it's fun, and you know, we put the belts on and go out and tear ass around in it. Sorry if that needs to be bleeped.
That's fine.
Yeah.
We go out and we tear around in my car, and then we realize, and then my wife looks at me and knows that what's going through my head is, when am I going to have time to work on my car?
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it's just one of those things where you take it, you know, you just take it with a grain of salt and just realize, hey, it could be worse. I could be asking if you want to supersize it while I live in a studio apartment and get on my bicycle to go to work.
You know, that is, it's all relative because you're doing work. You're going across the country and flying. You have time zones and schedules. I took my Pontiac apart to do a little floor work in May, and I hadn't gotten back to it until last Sunday. And I said, we had the old guys in here from the Oldsmobile Club, and they kind of inspired me. I said, I went home. And I said, screw it. I finished up. I put the carpet in, which I hadn't had in before. And now I'm driving the car this week. Like, oh, my God, it's like a real car. Like, I just needed that little bit of a kick in the ass to just get me to do something. And bang.
Yeah, sometimes that's what happens. You know, you see somebody else's car get done, or you look at a show or something, and it's like, hey, why ain't I out here with my car?
Yeah, but the point was, it wasn't because I was lazy and just didn't do it. I was working at a shop and working every day, coming home too damn tired to even work on my own car.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, yeah.
And that's what happens.
I'm sitting on my side yard looking at a first-gen Camaro that's under a cover in some sort of, better off dead-esque, automotive cocoon, and and in my front yard is my third gen, which is even more of a twist of the knife, because they're actually building one of those on horsepower wars. If I get my brain to work on the $10,000 drag shootout. So it's like, I'm watching a car get built in 2 weeks. And it's something I've been working on for 2 years.
Right.
So it's just, it is the way it is. But what makes all of us, the way we are, is we just like to go out and have fun and play with cars. And, right. I always love doing what you guys do now. We all know I did radio for years. And
sure.
It was a fun time. And you're thinking, I know in the back of your guys' head, you're like, wait a minute, this is 2-3 hours I could be working on my car. And, but I love talking on the radio with friends and talking about cars.
That's right. And you know what?
Spreading the word.
That actually gets us hooked up with guys like you across the country that we could talk to. So, yeah, the radio gig is definitely something we love very much. And I want to get you on the Plane and Traffic show with Lou Santiago. I'll send you an email with some info on that. And then hopefully if you have some time on a Thursday night, you can spend some time with us.
Well, I'm always up for stuff like that. Right. Lou's a cool guy. It's always a fun time to do, what we do with you guys. But, if you're done with an old burned out body and paint guy like me, I think I might just bid you farewell.
You got to go. Yeah, go walk the chickens or feed the cats and do something. Take a walk. Again, put out any information you have, Dennis, if you have a way people could get in touch with you or just find you. Throw that out now so everybody has that, please.
Well, the best way is just at Car Guy Dennis. There's both a Facebook and Instagram. If you go to, you put my name in Twitter as well, it's all at Car Guy Dennis. The support that I feel and the support that I get from guys like you or people across the country, I can't thank enough, man. I just try to be, I guess, what you call an automotive conduit between, the guys that can really build some cool stuff and do some cool stuff and the guys who own cool stuff and be a little bit of a, I guess, game show host. I kind of sometimes I see myself as Kurt Russell from Used Cars,
Yeah.
I don't know if I need the tie or the suit or the glasses or what. And I promise not to bury Lou in the backyard in the pit. Right.
No, what you need is a mile of cars.
Yep. My wife thinks I'm working on that right now. We'll see how far I get.
Exactly. Well, Dennis, thank you very much for the time. I know it's
much appreciated for taking
time
out
for us. We appreciate it. We'll be in touch, and we'll talk to you soon. We'll hopefully get you on a Thursday night gig.
All right. Thank you so much, guys. Keep up the good fight. Keep spreading the word, man. If it wasn't for guys like you, we wouldn't be out there.
Thanks, dude.
We will, Dan. Thanks.
Thank you.
All righty. So long. That was Dennis Pitzenbarger from the recent show Sticker Shock, which just ended last week on Discovery, but you can check it out on demand. It's a really fun show.
It's on demand, it's on the website. Like usual, you can find it just about any place these days, almost like us.
We creep up in the craziest places sometimes, you know?
Yeah, I know.
Never know what's going to happen.
Sometimes we don't know where we're ending up.
Exactly. So let's take our last break, and we'll hear from Dennis one more time, and then we will... We'll come back and wrap this up on Motor Mouth Radio.
Yeah, he beamed that in, right?
Yeah, we did. So, you know, we're going to just stop.
Mm.
Pitzenbarger from Sticker Shock, and if you're not listening to Motor Mouth Radio, boy, you are lost in the smoke of the burnout. Make sure to tune in each and every week because these guys are exactly what you want to hear. Real car guys, real talk every single weekend.
Wow, that's like crazy loud music. What are you listening to?
The best music on the radio. Come on, this is the Iron Age.
The what age?
The Iron Age, the show that brings you various types of heavy metal music from all over the spectrum.
Really? I've never heard of it. How do you know so much about it?
I'm the host.
Wait, if you're the host, how are you driving this car and on the radio at the same time?
Come on, don't ask so many questions. The Iron Age with me, Justin Sullivan, delivers the best variety of heavy metal music that you could ever ask for. Only on the Iron Age will you find music as ridiculously heavy as Meshuggah and Oceanic, along with chill and relaxing tunes like Tool and Deftones.
Well, that sounds cool and all, but I think I'm just going to listen to something else.
Ooh, I think that's going to be a problem. I think you're going to have to find another ride then.
What?
Every sound, every note, including the bass, on this track is played by a monkey.
American Hit Radio, Wednesdays and Fridays at 5 p.m. on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
Serious flashbacks, dude.
You know what can I tell you?
You can't get any car stuff down now. You know that.
I you know what? Cars, music, Motor Mouth Radio, Ray Guarino, Joe D. We're here, 516-572-7440. Playing the music of our generation and just having a good time doing it. Man, is that cool or what?
Oh, that was totally cool. I mean, you know...
Yeah,
I didn't
know.
Think those brain cells were still even alive in there. But
that, by the way, for people who doubt that there was any good music made before the Backstreet Boys, was 1968. So
yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's about right.
It is. Yes, it's absolutely. That's the James Gang's first album.
And, yeah, they were a big part of my I have that in the toolbox.
Ah, good.
Yeah, that kicks. Yeah, I'm also the Rides Again one was great too.
That was the follow up album. Yeah, it was Funk 49 was a big hit off of that one.
Oh hell yeah.
Yeah.
Oh God, please. And that shows up in a lot of movies and whatnot, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's what the hell movie was that? That was at the end of Joe Dirt.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's right. When the Hemi sprays the TA with
the
gravel as he peels out there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay, enough down memory lane.
Yeah.
So, but as far as that goes, I mean, let's talk about the Mustang.
So, okay, you want to go back to that? Okay, we can finish up with that. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so are we getting a bunch of new parts for that?
Or
are we going to have to do some reconstructive surgery?
No, I did call Mike and said, listen, this is where we got, and you need to spend some more money. So he's ordering, maybe from, I think, CJ Pony Parts, he's going to get the master and the booster, and the rod from the pedal. When we took it out, we saw that the middle, I don't know if we covered that, and I know we talked about it before the show, it looked like the rod had been modified and a middle piece welded
in. That's such a kind word, modified.
Well, And it looked a little off parallel.
Chicken feces.
Yeah, so I don't know if that was correct or not. So Mike did say that they do have the rod as part of the whole kit.
That would be interesting to see what that looks like.
I think the middle part rusted out, and this guy just welded it in a new piece.
Could be, yeah. You never could tell with all the odd color. I mean, there was dust coming out of the thing like it was like a mummy movie. I mean, geez, you know.
You know, the first day I worked on it, I had it up in the air. And when you move stuff around, I went home, I needed a wire brush to clean my hair out. Or a magnet. Like, I didn't want to walk by a junkyard that had the, you know, the big magnet.
Yeah, next thing you know, you'd be like,
clink.
That would be a fun thrill ride, you know?
But, oh, boy, yeah.
But let's face it, we still got more to do on that thing.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. Once the brakes are back together, the rear brakes were inspected, they're okay. No leaks as of now, so we'll see what happens when the next bleeding goes through. The front brakes are all new. Everything got replaced.
I mean, brake fluid bleeding, not owl bleeding.
No, well, that's always a possibility.
Owl bleeding will be coming right on the feet of that, you know. Well,
but the car does start and run
right.
Just surprisingly well, you know, for a car that's... Now, they had already put a gas tank and did some fuel line work in that car, so that stuff was already done by, you know, previously.
Thankfully.
So now, as long as the clutch works and the tranny engages, I'm thinking about dumping the oil out of the 9-inch and maybe, you know, put some new juice in it.
Yeah.
It's a non-posi.
That's right. When we were trying to do the brake stuff, it was like, hey, how come the wheel ain't spinning? Oh, the other one is.
Right, we had it on the lift, and I told you, I should put it in gear and turn the wheels, and yeah, one wheel spun, the other didn't. So, yeah, it's an open rear.
That's kind of disappointing.
It's either just...
It'll be more fun for burnouts, though.
Well, it's either just shot, you know, it's either just totally gone.
There are no shot components on that thing.
Yeah, I know.
Burned out.
We did order tires, so we're going to get some new rubber for the car and put that on it so it's safe.
Right.
And then as long as we can get that door to close and latch, like I said, then Mike just wants to drive it around.
I'm thinking a hasp.
Yeah, that could work. Yeah, hasp.
Either that or, painted orange... put 01 on it and just kind of just climb it through the window. Like,
even the door handle is like the metal handle was kind of loose.
Yeah,
in the door.
The whole thing is kind of that car's got a lot of flex in a lot of places.
But you know what, Mike and those guys, they're body men. That's what they do. And he's an old school body man. So I'm confident that he'll know. Like my buddy TJ, he would know in 5 minutes. Oh, yeah, it's an old Ford. Do this, do that. Give me the pry bar. Give me the 7/8 socket. Bang, boom, zoom, bang. And the thing will be clicking in no time.
Yeah. That also, like, I remember the gauges, too. The gauges were giving us some pretty interesting readings as well.
This previous owner had put a rack of 3 gauges in the center console, and the tack looked to be working okay.
Might be a spice rack.
Yeah, the tack looked to be okay. The volt gauge definitely looked low.
Yeah, it wasn't that low, because that car kicked right off. So
yeah.
It could... 4 volts is definitely not a believable.
Yeah, who knows where he tapped in? He could have tapped into the radio feed. You know, guys do weird stuff.
Yeah,
and the temperature gauge it showed temperature, so whatever.
Yeah, well, I guess we'll play with that at some point too. I guess we'll find out if it makes it down the block.
Right. Well, that's it. We do the danger drive, and down south of the shop, it's all residential. So if you can kind of take it easy, and then you get down, there's a couple of wide blocks. So you got a few places where you can really. You know, do some testing.
Plenty of homeowners have hedges.
Yeah, right.
You know, just in case you need that.
Sound barrier walls.
In case the brake system are...
Oh, it's those guys coming again. Put up the deflector shields.
Yeah, the net. That one place that actually started with the net, I kind of like that. That was like, carrier landing. You know, we should start putting tail hooks on things. But,
I said, people do know that there's some goings on up there at the shop. So they like I said, they want to get themselves, so safe and secure. And they see photon torpedoes coming. So they just kind of, they throw up these weird tholian webs and we come blasting by.
Well, let's face it. We definitely, get the shields up and we start sounding the red alert. That's for sure.
Yeah. Hey, we had good lunch too.
Yeah, that place, that sandwich shop over there, that was a particularly formidable BLT on my part there.
Free plug to Louisiana Joe's. It's a good sandwich shop.
Oh, good. You said good because they deserve it. They're great, you know.
So that's a good place to go.
You would pick a shop with a really good sandwich shop next to it.
And there's a Chinese place too.
Yeah,
no kidding. 7-Eleven across the street. But that, you know, and even Ricky stopped by, my friend Ricky, that's Bobby's brother from the Olds Club.
Right.
Ricky and I know each other since we're teenagers because he goes there. I mean, he's one of the guys that just comes down there for lunch.
No kidding.
So, you know, it's been kind of amazing.
So, So wait a minute. So it's Ricky Bobby?
Yes.
It's actually two people. What are they, like, they like when the twin powers activate and there they become Ricky Bobby?
Well, one's old and one's young. I guess they could. Yeah, they could. Yeah. So, funny stuff.
Yeah, but we have to do that more. I have to get out there more. Or you have to come down to the CF.
Yeah. Oh, I want to. I want to get down there, yes.
Yeah, I mean, if nothing else...
I mean, we were talking about how this could have been many times a video moment with the work we did. But it's kind of hard when...
We had tons of teachable moments there.
Yeah, it's hard when both your hands are in, you know, in the soup.
Right.
And dirty and involved.
Soup. What a polite word.
I know. It's like, well, what are you going to video with? You know, you need another appendage coming out of your
shoulder. Well, they make GoPros and stuff that they strap to your head and whatnot. But again, considering some of the places we stuck our heads that day...
See, that's the problem with mechanicking. You're looking here, then you're looking there, then you got to bend down, then you got to look over. It's not a linear thing. It's not like a cooking show where they can just put the camera on the countertop. You know?
Yeah, right. Yeah, like you know, some of those folks there, they sit there, they're swinging knives and they're talking about all this stuff. And meanwhile, you know, when you're not to mention the language.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Some of that stuff when we were getting the booster apart would have been like about a 20-minute
editable moments.
Yeah.
We did watch a video afterwards on the shop computer, a YouTube video on how to on the brake system. On we were looking on how do they say to take it out. And one of my pet peeves is the guy. You can tell he comes coming in with his left hand with the cell phone, and his right hand is trying to open the box.
Right. Yeah.
It's like, dude, you know, get somebody to do it for you, or mount it, but don't try and do both together.
You know, I watch a lot of the. I've been watching a lot of YouTube lately. You know what I mean? And I used to make fun of the, you know, the YouTube certified mechanics.
YouTube University.
You know, but there are some pretty sharp dudes out there. They're really knowledgeable. They're not a bunch of hacks. You know what I mean? There's not a lot of banjo music in the background. There's not a lot of shots of their dogs walking across the screen and that kind of stuff. I mean, they're actually getting stuff done. Not to mention, let me get something straight. I like the dog shots.
Yeah.
Banjo music is okay, but, like, tell me how to fix the frigging car. You know what I mean?
Right. That's why we're here, folks.
But I'd love to know how they do it. Because some of them do have camera guys.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that guy, Scannadana, has his kid working the camera. And Eric the car guy's got cameraman Brian, last I looked. So, but it's either that or we got to come up with something. Either that or I got to get one of those bionic eyes and a USB port in the side of my head.
That does take it to the next level.
Yeah, but because we had some teachable moments there, and I really think we got to. I think that the public would like to see us work.
Oh, yeah, I think so. I have to mention something because I was asked to do this. We didn't talk about it in the show because it happened during the week. I got to go with Mike we had to pick up some parts. We went to the Tesla facility in Red Hook, Brooklyn this past week. And let me tell you, we walked in this place. Three of us, it was this guy, Oscar, who's the parts guy, and Mike and myself. As we're walking, all our shoes were squeaking on the floor. It was that polished. And just, you want to talk about a pristine facility. They have a wash bay in there, you know, brick wall. The car goes into this stall, like a shower stall, and there's a guy power washing the car. So they can do that summer, spring, fall, winter. It doesn't matter. They don't have to be outside. The parts department, huge and air conditioned. And what happened is the shop had gotten the Tesla in that had been hit. So we had to pick up a hood, a bunch of parts. We had a whole bunch of parts in the minivan that was worth a whole lot of money.
Right.
And the problem was the Syosset, the Long Island Tesla dealer didn't have the parts. So we had to go to Brooklyn, which of course led us to L&B Spumoni Gardens afterwards for some lunch.
You pull all the good duty.
We were in Chris's old neighborhood. Yeah, well, yeah, listen. L&B was great. Sitting on the belt there and back, that was our penance.
Yeah, that's true. I did talk to you after that. We're not the happiest camp, I'll put it to you that way.
Oh, my word, that was ridiculous.
Traffic definitely stinks.
And we're going to have to go back because a couple more parts are coming in, so we're going to have to make another trip in there.
Wow.
But
you can't get them to, like, you know, like, fling it or, like, you know, come out and visit us. Like, I don't know. Tell me. Well, from a sandwich from Louisiana Joe's.
They don't know Long Island from nothing. The guy asked, he goes, hey, isn't Syosset closer to you? And Mike said, yeah, actually, on the map, Syosset and Brooklyn are about the same distance from the shop.
No kidding.
I said, yeah, but the difference is it took us like an hour and a half to get here or more. And Syosset, we could have been there in like 20 minutes, you know, because bang, sunrise, seafloor, Oyster Bay, you know, bang, you're there. Here, we had to go to Bell Parkway and sit through that the Bell parking lot traffic. So, yeah, there was just no way around it. We were screwed.
The infamous so. Bell Parkway.
I'm yeah. thinking next time we maybe loop. And we looked at the traffic. The Belt was actually a better option than the LIE, because that was the other way to hook around. Because you got to come down to BQE. BQE, you get off.
No, the better option is a friggin' helicopter. Come well, on, that,
or I said, you know what? Let's get a boat, and we come in around the Belt, around the harbor. We come up. We shoot up the East River. Probably get stuck in Hell's Gate, and, you know, we'll never be seen again. But either way, it is what it is.
So what we got coming up, Ray?
Well, we're open again next week, unless somebody drops in. We never know. We actually, Bob, I think, wants to give us a call and talk, do a recap on the old show.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's a major event that actually got done. Gotta
absolutely.
Love it.
And then, we freeform it this time of year. I have someone, actually, no, the people from Steel Labels. These are little labels I've been getting to put on my sockets.
Oh, those are great. Yeah, I know. You can actually see them, you know, without squinting too hard, at least I can.
Right. I think that guy, the CEO of that company, is also named Bob. I think he may be giving us a call next week and talking about his line of products. So we'll have two Bobs. We'll have the two Bobs in.
Bob
are in, right? Or as if you watch Welcome Back, Cotter, it was Bob Marino.
Yes.
Of course.
Stop that.
Right.
You were thinking the same thing again, Ray.
We watch the same TV shows, I know.
Horshack. Yeah. That's how you pronounce it. Yeah, excellent, though.
So for Joe D, this is Ray Guarino. We are ending another episode of Motor Mouth Radio. Stay tuned for Kim. I know you do.
Don't forget Kim, yeah.
Because all our listeners listen to Kim. And we'll be back next week.
You got it.
So long.
Bye.